Okay, so let's get going. Tonight's shir is on Inyanei Haggadah. Before we really jump in, we'll say that tonight's learning is going to be, again, for a continued Refuah Shleima, for Shindel Devora Bas Chayachana, for Shaul Reuven ben Gittel Sasha, Shamir ben Penina, Rafal ben Leah, Aaron Moshe ben Leah Bela, Besoch Sharchol Yisrael. We continue to daven for the Chayalim and the Chatufim and the Cholim, those who have been affected by everything going on in Eretz Yisrael. And we learn and we daven that we should hear Besuras Tovos and Yeshuos very, very soon. We understand that we're in the month of Nisan, and we were redeemed in Nisan. We're going to be redeemed in Nisan, and we're davening that it's a Geula Dika month that we see not just that we see in a very real way, in a revealed way, like we saw the other night, the amazing Yad Hashem protecting the Jewish people, and that should continue to happen until we see the coming of the Geula Shlema, and we see it mamish. B'mor Gadol, we see the Gilo Shechina. So, with that introduction, let's begin. Every year, for the past, I don't know, a bunch of years, Baruch Hashem, Bli Ein Hara, I've had this chus of going through a Haggadah. Since I was in the Kolo, probably one of my first years in the Kolo, I gave shir at Ezra's Israel. I remember we gave it on the Otz Roseim Shel Tzadikim Haggadah. We picked that one that year. And every year, Bli Ein Hara, we try to go through a Haggadah or two. So this year, I had a couple different ideas in mind. We went through some ideas from Rav Schwab last week on the general Yom Tov of Pesach that tied into the Haggadah. But tonight I decided to go through the Haggadah called Matnas Chaim. Matnas Chaim was written by Rav Matasio Solomon, who was Nifter earlier this year. Neshama should have an aliyah. Rav Matasio Chaim Solomon, who is the Mashkiach of the Lakewood Yeshiva. He has beautiful Sfarim. Many of his Sfarim are really recordings of vadim that he's given, of shmuzes and shiurim that he's given in Lakewood to the Bachrim or to the Avreichim there. He has beautiful Torahs, and his Haggadah is spectacular. I got chizuk in going through it again. I never typed up my notes. I went through the Haggadah, I never typed up my notes, but I lent it to Rabbi Shmuel Oren in Skokie. He gave a few shiurim from several of the pieces, and he said it's so gishmak, and it gave me a little bit of chizuk to go through it. So, by way of introduction, I'll just note that the Haggadah has about 12 or so essays at the beginning, 12 maimarim at the very beginning of the Haggadah, which go through different ideas, larger essays where they go through overall themes, machshavos with regards to the Yom Tov of Pesach in general, and the Seder night Bechlal. But then he goes through, you get to page 101 or so, when he gets to the actual Haggadah. So we're going to start from the Haggadah itself, and if we have time, maybe at the end we'll chazer. If not, maybe we'll record some things throughout the week and we can, you know, send them out via the Kolel's email. But let's jump right in. We're going to start with the Rambam, and it's one of the more well-known Rambams, but it's so important to begin our discussion there, especially if we're looking at Maggid. Again, we're going to skip a little bit in terms of Kadesh, Orchatz, Karpas, and Yachatz. Maybe he'll say, I can't help myself, I don't know. Pesach, it's so geschmack. There's an awesome idea when it comes to Yachatz, or Rimon noted, I'm pretty sure it's in the Rimon Haggadah, that when it comes to Yachatz, we're breaking the middle matzah, and we're putting the larger piece away. We're putting the larger piece, we know it's coming out by the Afikomen. And Rimon stresses that this is the idea, it represents like the moment of rupture, the moment of breaking. There's something bad happening. There's breaking apart, it's just bad. And very often we get despondent when something falls apart in our life, whether it's a relationship, whether it's, you know, a job, a million different things that we can experience in life that look very bad to us. It's a moment of galus, it's a moment of choshech and afela, but we have to recognize that the best is yet to come. We're saving that big, at the moment of rupture, we're already saying that this larger half is going to be for later on. It's going to be for the afikoman later on, and we recognize that even when we experience Rachmana Litzlan difficult things, we realize that a Kodesh Baruch Hu has a plan and something good is on the horizon. Number one. Number two, I saw in my notes earlier today also that the Bava Rebbe writes by Yachatz that it represents that, what does it mean that we break the matzah right before Maggid? It's to remind ourselves that we only know half the story, so to speak. That in life, very often we think we get it and we know what's going on and we can explain a million different things. Whereas in reality, we only have part of the picture. We have a very, very small part of the picture. Our vantage point is so small, we don't know what everyone else is going through. We don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bird's eye view. We don't have a HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bird's eye view. And we have to recognize that we only know part of the story. And that gives us chizuk as we go through Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. You get a broader picture. You have the more of the zoomed out panoramic view, so it reminds us to pump the brakes a little bit, have a little bit more enough, and recognize that we, before we jump to conclusions, to remind ourselves that we don't know the full picture. So that's the, again, Rav Rimon, Shlita, and the Baba Vareba. Fine. So now let's jump into Rav Matzyahu and his Haggadah. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, in Perek Zayin Halacha Beis and Gimel, that it's a mitzvah lehodiya labanim. It's a mitzvah to tell one's children about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, v'afilu lo shalu. Even if they don't ask, you still have to tell them, shenemar v'higadata libincha. You have to tell them. Lefi daito shel ben aviv milamdo. And it's important that it has to be on a level that is shayach to each child at the table, you know, to their intellectual capacity. Ketzad. So the Rambam says, im hayakatan o tipesh, omer lo bini, kulanu hayinu avadim, kemo shifchazo, o kemo evid ze, b'mitzrayim. So if it's a young child or a child with a lower level intellect, so you have to say that back in the day we were slaves, just like this person or that person. You have to give real life examples. Ubalayla hazeh pada osanu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'yotzi'enu l'chirus. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us, He took us out, and we went out to chirus. V'im haya ha-ben ha-gadol v'chacham odiyo ma she'ira alonu b'mitzrayim. If the child is a little bit older, a little bit more understanding, so then you actually have to tell them what happened, go through the different nisim that occurred, shenas alonu al-yidei Moshe Rabbeinu, ha-kol l'fi daito shel ben. So again, the Rabbim emphasizes there that it's very specific. It's deliberate. You have to know who you're talking to. In Halacha Gimel, v'tzarech lasos shinoi balayla hazeh, and we do many different things throughout the course of the night that are very bizarre. They're not like a normal night. Kedei shiyiru habonim v'yishalu, v'yimur ma nishtana halayla hazeh mikol halaylos. So you have to do funky things so the kids will see, they'll understand, they'll say, whoa, what's going on tonight? This is so different, we don't usually do that. Until you get to be able to respond to them, ad sheyashiv lehem v'yomer lehem kach v'kach ira v'kach v'kach haya, you begin to give them the backstory. So the things that we do that are a little bit different are really a Pesach. It's an opportunity for the child to ask, and therefore that could be our departure point for giving more of the story. The Ketzad Mishana, how exactly do we change it up? This is all very important. The Rambam says, what do we do differently? Mechalik lehem klayos ve'gozim ve'okrim ha'shochan melefneim kodem shiyochlu. So we do all sorts of funny things to get the kids to ask. You know, we give out, the Rambam gives like the example of like the roasted seeds and nuts and things like that. And I think nowadays people give candies and lollipops and things like that. I would imagine, / hope people are not giving out, you know, roasted nuts at the table. I don't know how many kids are going to stay awake for that. And we also, we pick up the karo, we uncover the karo, we remove the karo, we do all sorts of funny things. If you know the video we're referencing over there, things people do at the Seder, you know. And we chot fin ha-matzah, and we grab people's matzos, we steal afikomen. All these things are done to kind of change it up. And we want the children specifically asking what is going on. And says the Rambam, in lo ben, ishto shalto, if a couple doesn't have children, so the wife should ask, in lo isha, if a person's not married, so sholin ze ze, ma nishtana halay ze, so maybe they're having a seder with some friends. Ve'afilu hayu kulan chacham, even if everybody already knows the entire story, hayu levado shol la'atzmo, and if a person, rachmano letzlan, has to have a seder by themselves, we know this was halach lamayis a couple years ago, so they still have to say, ma nishtana halayla hazeh mikol halaylos. So all the details in the Rambam, says Rav Matzyahu, that we see that in order to accomplish, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Letzias Mitzrayim Kiroi, to do it properly, it's not enough to just say the story. It's not enough just to tell your children or the people at your table what happened in Mitzrayim. But it seems to be that there's a necessity to create a certain avira or environment at the table in order to give over the story. So the makabel has to be ready to be makabel. They have to be excited to be makabel. They have to want to know the answers to the questions. L'chein ein kol habanim shavim b'zeh. Says Rav Matzyahu, the Rambam highlights that not everybody's different. You have people who are more curious. You have people who are a little bit more laid back or a little bit less interested, we'll call it. So you have to find ways to engage each and every child. He even points out parenthetically in a footnote, which I think is a beautiful idea, and we'll talk about this in just a little bit, by the Dalet Banim. He says, Dalet is lav dafka. Meaning, yes, we give a chacham and a rasha, a tam, shena, delisho, but lemaisa, there's so many different types of people out there, right? Don't limit it to just four. Four is an idea that they're... My connection is going in and out, I'm being told. Can everybody hear me? Can we get a thumbs up? Oh, no. Hold on. Is that better? Can we hear me now? Atar? Can you give me a thumbs up if you can hear me? No? No, we're going in now. Hold on 1 second. Maybe I'll turn around to a hotspot here. Hold on, is that better? Are we connected now? Yeah, okay, we're good. Okay, sorry about that, everyone. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Okay. Yeah, thumbs up, we're good? Okay, good. Okay, so he even notes, again, we were saying before, that Rav Matisyahu... Are we good now? I just got a notification on my computer. Okay, we're good. Fine. So Rav Matisyahu was saying that the four sons is lav dafka, meaning it's not just four types of learners, but there's so many other kinds of learners out there that a parent has to think going in, how am I going to engage everybody at the table? I just heard Rav Shai Shechter recently note in a shir, I think he was quoting his father, saying that the mitzvah is really on the parents. The mitzvah is not for the children to come home from school with like a whole, you know, stack of sheets or a notebook and say, you know, mommy, abba, look what I learned in school. Rav Shechter Shlita used to say that for, you know, the day meals or all the other times that we're eating together over Yontif, but the Seder is really the job of the parents to give over that Mesorah. But again, it needs to be done in a way that actually engages the children. You have to think about ways to connect the dots, like the Rambam pointed out, to point to Shivcha Zeh or Eved Zeh. You have to give them real life examples. Rav Matisyahu earlier in the Sefer, in one of the essays, he actually talks about what's a time where you feel most Bishibud. He says most people, I mean, we know, Rachman Olatzon, there are people who are in Shibud now, but for most people, if you're sitting here in Chicago, in Skokie, Rogers Park, wherever you are, so at what point do you really feel totally and completely helpless? That you're at the hands of someone else, 1,000%. And it's not up to you anymore. So he says something so funny. He writes in his Sefer, he says, imagine you get pulled over by the cops. That feeling, I don't know if anybody has been zocha to such a incident, but when the lights go on behind you and your heart sinks for a second and you're hoping that the cop is going to be nice and you're completely meshubbed to another person, again, so it's a cute example, but again, I think the point that Rav Matisyahu is bringing out is you have to think of real examples that people at the table who are sitting around can relate to. And again, we're trying to ask lots of questions. Again, we see from the Rambam that questions are so fundamental to everything going on. I think if you're into psychology, so there's an amazing book called Irresistible, written by Adam Alter, and it's all about the world of addictions, all sorts of addictions, not, you know, drugs and alcohol and shopping and email and video games and everything in between. So he was talking, he has like a chapter there, he was talking about binge watching, people who are addicted to TV or movies, whatever it is. And he said, if a person doesn't want to binge watch, he said, most TV shows are created the same way that you have, I don't know, let's say a show is, I don't know, it's like an hour long. So the entire show is like one story, and the last 5 minutes of a show, he says usually it's the last 5 minutes, open up what he calls an information gap, which means they leave you with basically a cliffhanger that makes you want to come back to go weiter and watch the next episode. You don't want to turn it off. You need to know. People are created, we're wired to want to fill those gaps, to fill the void. And if there's an information gap, if we're not sure about something, it eats at us and we need to know the answer. So we go and we watch the next episode to fill that void, to fill that gap. So he suggests if you want to not binge watch, so either turn off the television or the TV, whatever it is, the computer, I guess, I don't know, with 5 minutes left in the episode, or he said, turn it off 5 minutes into the next episode. Because usually there's a hashlama. You fill that knowledge gap in the first 5 minutes of the next episode, and then they have like a regular show. So he says it's really the bookends is where they get you. Okay, so that's the information gap in the world of psychology. But this is really, says Rav Matisyahu, what the Rambam is telling us. You have to ask questions. You have to engage people around you. You have to excite them and create some sort of, you know, gap. You can't just tell them the story, because if the story is just a story, they're not necessarily so interested. But if they're filling a void, if there's a gap that they want, that they're craving to be filled, so then you're going to be successful. But says Rav Matzah, why are we so crazy? Meaning we do all these amazingly different things. It's like a wild time. It's an exciting Seder. It's a whole Chavaya. What are we really, what's the goal here? So he says, Higadat Labincha is all about Emuna. Based on the Ramban that we spoke about a couple weeks ago. Can we still hear me? I just got a notification that my internet is unstable. We're good? Okay. So we saw the Ramban a couple weeks ago. But the whole entire yesod of Higadat Labincha is to give over the yesod of Amuna. Meaning Higadat Labincha, really, at its core, says Rav Matzah, is a mitzvah shel chinuch be'emuna. We're giving over Amuna to everybody at the table. And he says it's a parent's achrayas. Oh no. I just got signed out of Zoom. Hold on. Let's try this again. So Rav Matzah says, I feel like I should speak quicker, you know, get everything in really quick before this happens again. But he says that the father's achrayus, the parent's achrayus at the table, is to give over this notion of emunah in a way that resonates with the children. Fine, we'll hold off on that idea for now, and we'll go weiter. Rav Matzah says what I think is such a fabulous insight into the entire, you know, overarching theme of the Haggadah. And he says, what's the difference between a Leil Seder when we had a Beis Hamikdash versus when we're in Gullus? What's the difference between the two? And he basically explains that when we had a Beis Hamikdash, so we had the Karban Pesach, maybe it was much more real in a certain sense. And when you had the Karban Pesach, because it was more real, so the theme of Hakara Satov was the most prominent theme in the entire Seder. It was real, it smacked us in the face. But when it comes to Pesach Begalos, so the entire Avoda of Leil HaSeder is Emunah. And this is a theme that Rav Matzah keeps coming back to. We'll talk about it probably a couple more times throughout this year. But the whole overarching theme is Emunah. You know, I tell my students, I had a couple students who were going to New Jersey for the first days of Pesach last year. And I told them, I don't care where you are in Teaneck, you have to walk to Beth Abraham for the first night of Yontif. So my Rebbe, Rav Yaakov Neuberger Shlita, the first night of Pesach every single year gives the same exact drasha, and it's magnificent. It's so, so good. He goes through what Yerushalayim would look like on Yud Dalid Nisan leading up to Leil HaSeder. And it's the coolest thing in the world, and how Yerushalayim would be filled, and people were coming from all different areas, and what they're doing, what the Kohanim are doing, and what all the different types of Jews are doing throughout the day, different points during the day, before Chatzos, after Chatzos. It's amazing. And you sit there, and you're thinking, if only we could be there. If only we can be there. And we're going to go back home, and we're going to have matzah with, you know, lettuce, and it's just, we feel like it's so not the real thing. But the whole yesod of Leil Seder, especially, specifically, I should say, in Galus, is that this idea of Chizik Be'emuna. And it's important to recognize that when the Rambam has his Nusuch of the Haggadah, so he points out that when we were taken out of Mitzrayim, so he says, Bibihilu Yatsano Mi Mitzrayim. It was quick. It happened Keheref Ayin, Bechipazon. Just like Rashi tells us on Vayaritzuhu Min HaBor, not Rashi, but the Sforno points out that this is Kederech Kol Teshua Hashem, Shinasis Kemo Rega. When you experience Yeshua Hashem, it happens Vayaritzuhu. It's quick. And we have to recognize that our whole entire Avodah on Leil Seder is almost like a tefillah, that we recognize what happened many years ago, and we're davening that it should happen nowadays as well. Fine. So let's move on a little bit. So we have, again, we're going to be skipping a little bit in the Haggadah, but we get to Manish Tana, and he points out there again this idea that it has to be B'derech She'ila V'tshuva, because the answers will be remembered in a much more concrete way if there was a question beforehand. Again, just giving people information doesn't always work, but if there's a question that they want an answer to, you're filling that knowledge or information gap, so those answers will stick much more. And again, the goal of Leil Seder isn't just to do. And again, this is a theme. It's not just via data, but it's Hashevosa el levavecha. We want to make sure that these themes that we're talking about, the answers, the questions that we're answering resonate and that we internalize. That's the goal. Furthermore, he points out that the questions are implying like what's going on in the entire Seder. I think the Abar Benel also asks a similar question. But if you take a look at the Manishtana, so we say, Shebechol HaLeilos, Anu Ochlem Chametz Matzah, and tonight we're just eating matzah. On all other nights we eat Shar Yerikos, and tonight we're eating Mar. And then we say, usually, in Anu Matbilim, even once. And now we're dipping twice. And then we're saying, tonight we're leaning. So the first two highlight notions of Shibud, whereas the second two questions highlight things that we do, L'shem Cherus. And really, it's one question overall, and it's, what is tonight all about? Is tonight a night of Shibud? Or is it a night of Chiris? So are we recognizing, are we thinking about Shibud Mitzrayim, or are we thinking about Yitzias Mitzrayim? And the answer, says Ramatis Yahu, is it's both. Avadim hayinu lefarab Mitzrayim, v'yotzi'enu Hashem Elokeinu misham, v'yad chazaka, meaning it's both. And we live with that dichotomy, something that I think we closed the Shira on Rav Schwab last week, this idea that the Malachim wanted to sing Shira, and Hashem said, no, you can't sing Shira. Why not? We sing Shira, we sing Azi Asher, and we even quoted a Mishnah Berurah who said you're supposed to sing Azi Asher with Simcha as if you're standing al Tzvas Hayam. And Rav Schwab gives an amazing answer that a Malach has one Shlichus, they can only do one thing, so they have tunnel vision. They're very narrow-minded in that sense. They can't think about, they can't juggle multiple emotions at the same time. But we, as Bnei Adam, and perhaps, says Rav Schwab, what makes us like something unique to the human experience is that we're able to juggle different emotions at the same time. And we're saying, yes, we're doing things that remind us of the Shibud, and we're doing things that remind us of the Chiris. And, like you pointed out, there are even certain things that one thing in and of itself can remind us of both, like the matzah. It could be halach ma'anya, and it could also be the thing that we ate as we left Mitzrayim. Fine. Now, he points out something so gishmak, by Haseba. This is such a good word on Haseba. Halayla hazeh kulono misubin. So what's misubin? So we lean and we think that's derech chirus. So says Rav Matzis Yo, he points to a medrash. The medrash Rabin Shemos tells us, Dover acher vayasiv elokim es ha'am. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he was taking us out of Mitzrayim, he took us along a path that was a little bit roundabout. Derech hamidbar yamsuf hachamushim alu b'nei Yisrael. Me'eretz Mitzrayim. So we went out in a roundabout way. Says the Medrash Mikan, Amru Rabosinu, Afilu Ani Shebisro Lo Yochal Ad Sheyosef. Even an Ani, who doesn't really have too much to his name, still he has to lean Derecheres, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. And he says, Shekach Asa Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shenar V'Yasiv Elokim. So, at first glance, this seems to have nothing to do with leaning. Hashem took us out in a roundabout way. Memela, we all have to lean. What's the connection? Doesn't seem to have to do with one another at all. So perhaps we can learn from this idea. I'm trying to be a little bit sensitive to the time here. So perhaps we can learn from this that even an Ani, Shebi Yisrael, needs to lean because they recognize when they go into the Midbar, Hashem is providing everything. There are two ways to look at this, right? He gives a mashal, you can have a king anytime a person travels. So once you leave the comfort of your own homes, no matter you know how well-to-do a person is, it's still not home. Even when the king goes to the Midbar and he has his whole entourage, it's still not the palace. Whereas when we went into the Midbar and we had nothing to our name, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided everything. We had the kavod and we had the be'er and we had the man. We had it. We were taken care of. And then perhaps maybe we can add, again, I don't know if this is MS or not, so this is not Rav Matzio talking, but maybe we can add that when you have a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it almost doesn't matter. Meaning you can go in a long, twisted, roundabout way and you're not sure where you're going. But if you know you have a Kadosh Baruch Hu with you, so again, you have the Amunah that it's all going to be okay. Hashem's never abandoning us. And when you have that, so it almost doesn't matter what else you have. Whether or not you have food. What you can lean and have nothing. As long as you have a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're leaning with someone, Kilu, right? And I think that's a very powerful idea also, Vayasev over there. Okay, let's move on a little bit. Rav Matzio points out that, again, we say, Afilu kolanu chachamim, kolanu nivonim, kolanu zakenim, no matter how much a person knows, even the greatest gedolei hador, So still, mitzvah, leinu l'saper v'yitzias Mitzrayim. So they still have to go on and on and on about Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. So it's kind of funny, if it's a mitzvah, what's the havamina that someone would be putter? We don't have that by anything else, that like, oh, he's a big Talmid Chacham, or she knows a lot, so mamela they're going to be putter from, I don't know, Chavei Tzkiyah Shofar. Oh, he's shaken lulav many times in his life, so he's yotzis, like, what does that mean? There's a mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why would someone who knows a lot be putter? So Rav Matzio says the havamina that we already, you know, pointed out or alluded to, and that is, don't think that the mitzvah of the night is to know. That's not the idea. The mitzvah of the night is to internalize. Again, it's not just viadata, but it's the hashevosa el livavecha. That's what we're aiming for here. So it doesn't matter how much a person has learned, we always need chizuk. Right? The Gemara in Brachos, I think it's on Daf Lamed Beis at the top, talks about four things that people constantly need emunah in. We constantly need chizuk. That's what I mean. The Gemara says, what are things people constantly need chizuk in? It lists four things there. Emunah is one of these things that we all need chizuk in, no matter how much we already know. Fine, let's move on a little bit. Then, right there, it says, V'chol hamar belasaper b'tzias Mitzrayim hareze meshubach. The more one goes on to be misaper and talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim hareze meshubach, they are praiseworthy. So there's a vart that I've seen from the Sfas Emes. Others quote this idea as well. But Rav Elia Lopian, one of the great mashkichim, the Rebbe of Rav Matzah Solomon, says that it's like wine. That wine, the longer it sits, you can have an age. I don't know, I'm not like a big wine guy, but they say, right, an older wine is a more chashuv bottle. It's the same idea. It becomes more mishubach. He says that's what this idea is. Shahamisapir nasal yidei hasipur la'adam mishubach yoser. Through talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim, through the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, the misaper, the one telling the stories, can become la'adam mishubach yoter. You can become an even greater person. And again, I think the idea is that the more and more and more we talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim, the more and more chizik and emuna we have, the more we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has our backs. So then, we grow and we develop and we kind of push ourselves to the next level. When we recognize how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been doing for us, so we want to reciprocate and we want to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm gonna do more for you now because I've realized how much you have done for me. Again, he gives chizuk there at the bottom that even Talmidei Chachamim need to get back to the basics and they need a chazer and they need chizuk in their own emuna. If we move on a little bit, we'll skip to the Arba Banim. Although, I was just telling my students today that when you think about the Maisim B'nei Brak with the Talmidei Chachamim, so I always envisioned that was like the coolest sleepover party ever. You know, like what was going on? I mean, whatever, they were being Misaper Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's what was going on. But I don't know, in my mind, I always thought it was very cool. It must have been a very cool hangout. Anyway, so if you take a look, we get to the Dalet Banim. We'll skip Baruch HaMakom also, just for sake of time. But he quotes the Maharal, who says something very, very cool. The Maharal points out by the Keneged Arba Banim Divrei Torah, you have to recognize that the Torah has something for everyone. No matter what kind of learner you are, no matter what kind of background you have, no matter how interested you are or where you're at in life, no matter what stage or what iteration, it doesn't make a difference. The Torah has something for everyone. And it's just a matter of finding that thing. Some people like Halacha, some people like Chumash, some people like Gemara, some people like Chassidus, some people like Musar. They're all different areas of and aspects of Torah. And it's trying to find what's most matim for us and also to help people find the part of Torah that's matim for them. Fine, we'll leave that thought for there. If we take a look at the Rosh's question of Ma Havoda Hazos Lechem, what is this? What are you guys doing? Lechem Velo Lo. The Haggadah tells us, Ulafisha Hoti is Atzma Min HaKlam, because he took himself out by saying Ma Havoda Hazos Lechem, for you and not for us. Kafar Be'ikr, and you knock out his tooth. Fine. So first of all, he quotes from Rebaruch Ber that when a person hears Kfirah, so the response to hearing something that's anti-Torah or anti-Kadosh Baruch Hu is you have to double down and you have to be mechazik yourself in Emunah. Bavor zeh, asa Hashem li b'tzeisi mimitzrayim. This is what Kadosh Baruch Hu did for me. Fine, I don't want to get so into that one right now, but he goes on to say something very interesting. He quotes from the Beis Halevi, in what way, in what manner did the Rasha take himself out of the klal? So he says, his question is, Mahavoda Hazos Lachem, Shiritsono Liftor Atzmo Mechiyuvo Bemitzvos, Ba'omru Shehu, Maven, Debizman Shiyatsumi Mitzrayim Hayashayach Mitzvos Elu. Meaning, he's not an idiot. The Rosh is asking with the Yiddish cup. He's saying, okay, Nicha, when we left Mitzrayim, Nicha, the Dora Midbar, whatever it was, they, okay, it makes sense for them to bring a Karban Pesach, to do all these things, to be Mesaper, B'tzias Mitzrayim. But now, sitting in 2024, wherever we are in the world, we really need to get involved in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Like, it applied back then, but it's not shaykh to us right now. So he gives very stark Musar, and he says the Rosh is off base in thinking that we're doing everything simply because we left Mitzrayim. He goes on to say that Avram Avinu, if you look at Rashi Alator, you look at Chazal, so there are different parts throughout Sefer Bereishis where different people were having Leil HaSeder. Avram Avinu had Leil HaSeder, and it wasn't because the Jewish people left Mitzrayim yet. We understand that there's an idea, Histako Baraisa Ubara Amo, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the Torah and created the world. But the Torah came first. And we do things like we spoke about, if I'm not mistaken, last week, that we do things because it's the Ratzon Hashem, not necessarily because something happened and therefore we do this because of that, but rather because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to do it. B'chol Shana, he tells us from the Beis Alevi, Anu Orchem HaSeder Gam Mishum Shekach Tzivta HaTorah V'lo Rak Mishum HaNisim Shenasu Oz. We can give lots of reasons for everything, but we also have to realize we're doing it because the Kodesh Baruch Hu told us to do it. There's a basic Ratzon Hashem. I think it was Rishwab who said, we do things because it's fundamentally it's Ratzon Hashem. That's why we're here, that's what we're doing. Fine. That again, and that's a response to the Rasha. The Tam, again, he says, Mazos, what is this? And we say, Bechozek Yadot Tzionu Hashem Yimitzrayim Yibes Avadim. So, in a way, the Tam's question, it's a very Tmimus question, and he's almost asking like the Chacham. He's saying, what's this? And we tell him, Bechozek Yad, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out with a strong hand. Meaning, we're not telling him a very basic answer, and I think this is like an interesting Chinuch lesson here. I think they call this in the world of education, the zone of proximal learning. Where you want to, or scaffolding, right? You want to extend the person a little bit beyond where he or she is so that they can reach out a little bit, and that's how they grow. But the Tam's asking a very basic question, what's this? So he could have said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out. But rather, he's saying, Bechozek Yad Hotzianu Hashem Yimitzrayim, meaning you're talking about all the Nisim. Meaning, the goal of answering the Tam is helping him cultivate or develop his Emunah. And you're going through the story with this child who asked a basic question, and it's a great question. It's a simple question, but it's a very fundamental question. And we're saying, here, let me tell you about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. But your answer is cultivating and developing, furthering his emunah. Fine. If we take a look at the She'enu De'elisho, so Rav Matzio's taich is very interesting. We answer, if we pay attention, we give him the same answer as the Rasha. So what's going on? Why is it that we give the Rasha and the She'enu De'elisho the same exact answer? Without getting so into everything he says, Rav Matzio gives an answer which I thought was very interesting. He quotes from Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein, who says that sometimes in life people don't ask questions because they heard something. What does that mean? It could be that they heard, I don't know, a line of kfirah. They heard a story about a person who did X, Y, or Z. They heard someone talk about something in a negative way. And because they heard it once, and they maybe heard it from an influential person, or they heard it at a young age when they were, you know, impressionable, so they don't go on to ask, to clarify, to understand what exactly it was that they heard. Was it misinterpreted? Was it given over incorrectly? Were there details surrounding the entire thing that they didn't necessarily get? We give the same answer that we gave the Rasha to the She'enu De'elisho. Says Rav Matzio, this is highlighting that he doesn't know how to ask. He doesn't know how to move forward after hearing something. And we're giving him the same answer and we're saying, hey, listen, let me tell you how it is. And that's really, again, maybe the job of the parent here is that so many people, all of us, not just children, everybody's inundated with information constantly. the job of the parents, and maybe the job of the Bali Misora, is to recognize there's a lot going on, and there's a lot of information you're getting. Let's sift through it and make sure we're understanding what's MS, and making sure we're being mevarer, right? The way the Chabad one says it is that the job of a person in this world is kind of a, this parenthetical, it's a little interesting, but it was so unique that I never forgot it. He says the first thing that every single person in the world does in the morning, whether or not they're washing tefillin or not, is everybody goes to the bathroom in the morning. This is in a sefer on, this is not like out of the blue, he has a sefer on Hashkamas HaBoker in tefillah. So in the context of talking, waking up in the morning, he says, everybody goes to the bathroom in the morning. And he says, that's really symbolic of our avoda in this world. To make sure that whatever excess we have, whatever is unimportant, whatever is unnecessary, we kind of get rid of. And whatever is critical for us, whatever is, you know, nutritional, whatever is helpful for us, beneficial for us, so that we hold on to, that we maintain. So what are we doing with the She'enu de Lishol? We're giving him the same exact answer, and we're saying, let's understand this to let's understand it. Let's make sure we're not getting anything twisted. Let's make sure we're being mevarer things, and let's make sure that we're being mechavin to the Ratzon Hashem. Fine. He goes on, skipping a little bit. Now we get to Vihisha Amda, which is a very powerful tefillah in general, and I think especially this year, I think Rav Rimon has composed the tefillah. I saw the other tzaddikim, I think it was Rav Mordechai Eliyahu maybe, composed a tefillah. A lot of people are writing different things this year to think about with what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. But Rav Matzeo quotes from the Avduraham, who says, he quotes from the Avduraham, who says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, again, this is like a, conceptually, I feel like this is like a, this is like an entire Machsheves Yisrael class here at least, right? Oof, we got signed off again, 1 second. Can we hear me now? We're back? Okay. Just the Yetzer Hara trying to get us to not learn, but we're going to keep at it here. So he writes a very interesting idea that we have enemies just so we can appreciate and see Hashkachas Hashem. That there are lots of people in the world, there are lots of enemies, there are lots of people who want to do bad things to the Jewish people, but all of that is really, says Avudraham, so that we appreciate, we can be makir Hashkachas Hashem. There's a lot of food for thought on that, for sure. And for sure a lot to unpack. But I wanna hold there. Again, we're just putting that one out there. That's more food for thought, and we're gonna go weiter. Then we start Tehillumad, we start to darshan many of the Psukim, which Rav Soloveitchik said that this is like a kiyum of Talmud Torah on Seder night. But he says the following. Hold on, let's try to find it here. Here we go. So by Umor Gadol, says the Baal Hagadah, Zegilo Ishchina. Zegilo Ishchina. So he wants to know, what does it mean? How do we see from the Pasuk? How do we see from the Pasuk that this is referencing Gilo Shechina, number one? And number two, this phrase of Gilo Shechina is a funny phrase. Meaning like, why don't we just call it the Shechina? What's Gilo Shechina? What's that mean? So he quotes from the Rambam in Mor Navuchim that the Shechina is from the word Shochein. Like Shochein be'elonei mamre. There's a notion of dwelling, of living. So says Rav Matzis Yo, the idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in one spot. Hashem is dwelling somewhere. Hashem is always there. And he quotes from the Noda B'Yehuda as a tshuva who explains that Hashkacha and Shechina are really the same thing, two sides of the same coin. So what happens? We're steeped in Galus and we don't necessarily see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. Gilo Shechina is saying, you're pulling back the curtain, you're saying, hello, I'm here the entire time. And watch this. This Mor Gadol is the Gilo Shechina. It's the greatest revelation in a such a real, he says, with a mamashi kind of mukshi, a real tangible experience of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina. That's what was happening there. Fine. Next, he says a beautiful line here by Dayenu. He quotes from the Malbim. I showed this to a couple of the students today. We just went through Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're heading towards Hallel. So you need to pause and you need to kind of itemize. Yeah, I went through my Baruch Hashem. I don't know if there are any accountants on the Zoom today, but April 15th is a big day. I don't know if you got your taxes in or whatever it is. Filed a, what's it called? an extension, right? But you itemize it. We're itemizing Dayenu. We just went through Sivur Yitzchak. You need to stop and you need to go through everything again. So the Malbim says, Chevri, you have to recognize that you're about to say Hallel. How is one supposed to be Melahiv Esli Beinu? How are we supposed to excite and inspire and arouse our hearts to sing Shiros V'Sishbachos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though we just told over an entire story of Sivur Yitzchak Mitzrayim? So he says you have to pause and you have to go through every single step. So what's the mashal? The Malbim basically says this. Not exactly this, but the mashal is that when a couple goes out for their anniversary, let's say, so they can have a date and make sure they're spending the night together in a beautiful way, but they can also, maybe an idea is to, again, we don't like, maybe you shouldn't take out your phone when you're, you know, at dinner with your spouse, but to take out your phone and kind of go through the pictures of the entire year. You know how on the iPhones they have like the different months, and you can kind of go through and you can, or sometimes they do it for you. They'll like give you like an overview of the year type of thing. I don't know if every phone does that, whatever. But to see what we've been through over the course of the year, to be malahev es libenu. So says the Malbim. That's what we're doing here. Right before we get into Hallel, we want to pause for a second and remind ourselves every single step along the way. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do for us? Where were we at that time? And to recognize that without HaKadosh Baruch Hu right there, we wouldn't have been able to get to where we are right now. So to pause and to appreciate everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing. Then, skipping a little bit, we get to Matzah, and then we'll go to Maror. He says by Maror, a couple, I would say, well-known ideas. One is that you're going to appreciate the good only if you have the bad. You need to have the Maror with you to get to the good, right? It's like the Siba, it's the reason, it's the cause for Geula. When you're pushed with your back against the wall and you're experiencing, and then there's Vinitzak, Elashem, we cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it was the Maror that's the catalyst, let's say, for the Geula. Perhaps it's also to remind us, I thought I saw this inside, I couldn't find it when I was reviewing it, so maybe I'm just making it up. If that's the case, it's probably not so good. But maybe it's to remind us that the grass isn't greener on the other side. Sometimes we think if only, you know, we lived a different way and we didn't have a Kadosh Baruch and we didn't have the Torah and I didn't have all these mitzvos and, you know, Mrs. Essays, Los Essays, and I wasn't, life would be easier. And we remind ourselves before we became the Jewish people, it was marer for us. The grass isn't greener on the other side. Again, to be mechazek ourselves in emunah, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His Torah, and to recognize that to be a Jew is the best thing in the entire world. If we go a little bit more, so we're told that we're chayiv adam, b'chol dor v'dor chayiv adam liros es atzmo ki'ilu hu yatza mimitzrayim, something we spoke about in the past as well. But the Rav Matzioh writes, Rav Soloveitchik has a similar mahalach as well, in that the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is not just a mitzvah that's, let's say, mechayiv specific things or particular things on Seder night, like matzah and maror and the other dalad kosos, but rather it's a chiyuv klali, is what he calls it, that impacts all the mitzvahs that we have. Whether it's the mitzvah or mitzvahs of Shabbos, whether it's the mitzvah of... there's so many different mitzvahs that we have that are zecher, that are tied into Yetzias Mitzrayim, but the Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim that we do, that we lean into, one, we have the mitzvah, the daily mitzvah of zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, but the Sibur that we do once a year, gives us the ability to make sure that we're doing all those other mitzvahs properly, all those mitzvahs that are zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. We have to spend that one night where we sit down and we make a big deal about it, and that gives us the capacity to do all those mitzvahs moving forward. We'll wrap up with maybe one or two last ideas, and that's the following. When you get to Hallel, so there's a beautiful, beautiful Vart he has over here. He says, I just want to find it inside. His Lashon was so nice. Here we go, Kuf Ayin Beis. I wrote the page number down. When we get to Hallel, so it's interesting, if you take a look in Sefer Shoftim, you take a look in Sefer Shoftim, so the Malach appears to Gidon. This is in Perek Vav. Vayomer Elov Gidon, Bi Adoni, Vayesh Hashem Imanu, is Hashem. Is He going to be with us? Velama Matzaasnu, Kolzos, Vaye Ko Niflosav, Asher Sipru Lanu Avosinu, where are all the amazing, wondrous miracles that our fathers have told us about? Hello, mi Mitzrayim he'alanu Hashem ve'ata Nitashanu Hashem v'yitneinu b'kaf Midyan. It seems like a Kodesh Baruch Hu has given up on us and give us into the hands of Midyan. So Rashi says something so amazing. What does it mean, Asher Sipru Lano Avosenu, that our parents have told us about Mitzrayim? So Rashi says it's specifically referring to Hallel. He says, Rashi says that I used to hear my father read Hallel. Vishemativ Shahaya Omer Betzesi Sraomi Mitzrayim. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu has left us. Says Rav Mashi, something amazing. That it was through the Hallel, meaning he could have just said, my father told me about Mitzrayim, and we heard about it, we heard the stories, and we read the stories, and we did Sipur. But he specifically, Rashi says, he specifically highlights the Hallel. Why is he highlighting the Hallel? Says Rav Mashi Solomon, that when parents do things with a tremendous sense of hislavos, when parents get excited about things, that's what their kids remember. You often find, you know, if you're in one city and you see it, you have a student, you have a kid, whatever it is, you meet someone who's a fan of a sports team in a different city, so they might say, oh, it's, why are you a fan of, you know, whatever that team? So, oh, it's because my father's a fan of that team. You know, when the father is getting excited about something, when parents get excited about something, when advisors, madrichot, whoever it may be, are getting excited about something, that often has the greatest impact on the people who are, you know, there looking at them or watching them. That's something to think about as we get excited for Hallel. To pause and recognize that we did a lot of Sipur, and we did a lot of saying over, but when you get to like an experiential part of the Seder, like a Hallel, where you're able to actually show how excited you are, so it could be that that moment might actually have the greatest impact on those around you. I can specifically remember when I was Shana Aleph in Shalavim, and I stayed for Pesach, and I was with my friend Sammy Khan, who's from Chicago actually, and we were at his cousin's, the Eisenbergs. The father's name is Michael Eisenberg. He's like a big person in Israel. He's like in the startup world, and he's like a big Talmid Chacham. He learned in Gush, and he has podcasts, whatever it is. I just remember Hallel in their house. And I remember sitting at the end of the table being so amazed at everybody singing Hallel with such a geschmack and such an excitement. And I remember like looking at the Eisenberg children when they were up to the parts of Hallel that expressed like a yearning for the Gula Shlema. And I remember where I was sitting. I remember everything about it. It had such an impact on me. When we get excited and we have a sense of Hislavos, so that can make a tremendous roshem on those around us. And maybe we'll just close with the last idea. We talk about the Kos Shel Eliyahu. So I heard Rav Shai Shechter quote his father that we shouldn't lie to our children. You know, we shouldn't, you know, while they're not looking, you know, pour out some of the grape juice or the wine and say, oh, he came tonight or whatever it is. Someone told me that their kid, where did I see this? Someone's kid came home from Gan maybe, and the Kos Shel Eliyahu had like a trap door a little bit. So like some of the grape juice would come out, and you could tell like, oh, he drank from it. And then I heard another Rav say recently that they thought this, like they had this amazing cup that, oh, maybe Leo came. It turned out the cup was a cheap plastic cup that their kid brought home from Ghana, and it had like a tiny hole in the bottom. So it was actually just dripping out. But Mamonim Shach, regardless, Rav Shechter Shlita says that you shouldn't lie to your children. He says, on the night of giving over the Masorah, the last thing you want to do is lie and say, Leo came and he drank the kos. It's probably not what happens. However, the Mishnah Berurah does say though, "V'noagin b'medinos elu limzo kos echad yoser meha mesubin v'korno so kosher Eliyahu Hanavi." Why do we do that? And with this, we'll close. L'rami sha'anu ma'aminim shekashem shega'alnu Hashem yisparach mi'mitzrayim hu yigalanu od v'yishlach lanu es Eliyahu libsarenu. Meaning, the fifth kos that we pour for Eliyahu is a kos of Amuna. It's a course of saying we believe the Amuna Shlema that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send Eliyahu, the Mevasar Tov, to bring that Geula Shlema. And that's really, again, what we're trying to do the entire night of the Seder. The night of the Seder is a time for Hakaras HaTov for sure. And it's a time to think about the Shibud Mitzrayim and the Geulas Mitzrayim. But fundamentally, the most important Yisod for us in Galus is to recognize that the night of Seder is a night of Amuna. To be machazik our amuna, to be machazik amuna of those around us, and we continue to daven that we should see Eliyahu come and bring us to the third Beis Hamikdash, and to have a Karban Pesach in Yerushalayim. So we'll hold it here. I wish everyone a Chag Kasher v'Sameach. And Amir Tzashem, after Yontif, we will be discussing the halachos of getting back to Hilchos Shabbos, and we'll be learning about Amira L'Nachri. What are we allowed to ask non-Jews to do for us on Shabbos? So again, everyone have a Chag Kasher v'Sameach, and thank you everyone so much for coming to learn with me tonight.